I want to jump into baptism Sunday, and we're just going to give, I'm going to give a short message on that. And the title is this, is I Have Decided. I Have Decided. And I want to ask this, have you ever had someone say something or do something that had a lot of meaning to you? Maybe it said something very meaningful to you that stood out to you years later, or maybe did something for you that was really, really meaningful. Everyone's probably had that, right? You can think of those moments. Yeah, one that for me stands out was a couple years ago. And I was over in Spokane, where I grew up, and my parents are there. And my dad taught me early on how to play golf. My dad was a golfer. We actually lived on a golf course for a couple years when I was young. And I remember fond memories of going out there, and I have my little plastic clubs like this big, and he'd teach me how to play, and he taught me. And so as he's gotten older and I've gotten older, one of the things we do together when I go to Spokane is play golf. It's kind of our fun father-son time. And so we're out there and we get out to this golf course. Now, if you're not a golfer, just let me explain something very quickly. You kind of arrive on the first tee box where you're going to tee off. And it's just my dad and I. And at golf courses, they pair you up usually with four people. They want a group of four to go out. And so what happens, and if there's only two, is they pair you up with two other people that are strangers. I mean, these are random people that got paired up with you. So my dad and I get out there, and there are these two guys that get paired up with us and look like they were buddies and friends. And what's normal etiquette when you're playing golf in the first tee is just a quick intro. Hey, I'm John. You know, I'm Tim. Okay, whatever, we do that. And then usually a question like, have you ever played here before? Oh, yeah, I have or I haven't. We talk for that. And then usually that's kind of it. Like most times it stops there. It's kind of rare for it to go on to get deeper, right? Well, and then most what we do is we go to our bags and we all kind of get our stuff. You know, we're grabbing our ball and our clubs and we're getting ready. I'm over at my bag and I'm getting into it and I'm getting my stuff. And all I hear loud, really loud, John's a pastor. And I kind of shot up and I was like, what? And I look over and my dad just yelled it. And the two guys, you could tell, were like really confused of like, what? And I thought for a second, did they ask, what's your son's profession? Which, why didn't they ask me if they asked me that? They did not ask anything. No one said a word. My dad just blurted out, John's a pastor. And I admit at first, I was kind of mad. I was like, what are you doing? Why would you say that? Number one, it's weird. And then the guys were kind of like, okay, thanks. You know, that was a weird moment. And then second of all, I was like, don't tell people I'm a pastor. Because now throughout the whole golf round, it's, you know, don't swear, be on your best behavior, share nothing about your life with that guy, right? And I was like, ugh. And so anyway, so we get our stuff and we walk down the fairway, and I'm walking down, and the beginning of the fairway, I was kind of mad as we go down, but then my anger slowly turned to gratitude as I began to ponder and realize that what was behind a very awkward social moment was a very proud father. And was a dad that was so proud of his son that people he didn't even know, the first thing he wanted them to hear was, my son's a pastor. And I almost kind of got teary-eyed walking down the fairway thinking of that. That's my dad. And I look back now, it was very awkward, but it meant the world to me. It was so meaningful. And, you know, as you have a meaningful moment, I think today what I want to say is baptism has meaning. Baptism has meaning. Baptism isn't just some weird thing where two people are standing in water and one person dunks someone else in the water, right? It looks weird on the outside, but it's not weird. It's not a religious ritual that people are trying to go through. It's not magical, like something magical happens in the water. It's an act that symbolizes something far deeper. It has meaning behind it. You know, I think as you think about in your life, things that have meaning that are hard to actually get out into words. Just last week, actually, one of the cards that one of you gave me in there, one of you said something like, this card can do barely any justice to the depth of my gratitude for you, right? A piece of paper folded up with ink on it does not do justice for my appreciation for you, right? And think of flowers you've given to people. Think of other things you do for people, right? There's no way it communicates the depth of the meaning. Tattoos, right? That's a good example. Ink on your arm, that doesn't mean a lot, but it symbolizes something far deeper. I remember a guy I talked to, and he had a bird tattooed on his arm, and I asked him about it. And he's like, oh, well, that was my dad's favorite bird, and my dad passed away about a year ago. And so whenever I look at that bird, it reminds me of my dad. Well, it's not a bird. The bird's a symbol of something far more meaningful and deeper. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is signifying something much, much deeper. And if you're wondering, well, what does it mean? It means two things. It actually means a number of things, but two things. And here the two things are. It's a picture and it's a profession. It's a picture and it's a profession. Well, you say, what is it a picture of? Well, it's a picture of this. When you get dunked in the water down and then you get brought back up, it is a picture of the death of an old life and the beginning of a brand new one. It's a picture of the death of an old life, of who I used to be, and it's the picture of a brand new life. You know, it's one of the worst days of a 23-year-old Brenton Wynn's life. And at the same time, it paved the way for the best day of his life. Brenton Wynn was a man down the South who was 23 years old and really angry at God. He had a relapse into addiction, relapse into alcoholism and meth. And as a guy who was getting better and making some strides, he relapsed into that, and as oftentimes happens, blamed God for it. And anger at God, resentment at God for all this. And in the midst of his anger, made some very bad choices and went back to that. And one night in a drunken, drug-induced bender, goes to Central Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas, and went inside the building, broke in, and caused over $100,000 of damage inside the building. 6 months later, Brenton Wynn was baptized in that same church. He went on to say, as I'm starting to understand how God works, I've realized I didn't pick the church that night. God picked me. If it had been any other church, I think I'd be sitting in prison right now. If you're wondering what happened, that's a great question. And to go from in February, the possibility of sitting in a jail cell, to 6 months later, getting dunked in a baptism tank, it began with the pastor of that church. Don Chandler is his name. And Chandler knew that the right godly response to this man was to go down the path of forgiveness rather than punishment and judgment for him. And so what happened is that Chandler got a hold of the prosecutor, and he talked to him about some other options. Chandler said this, the pastor, you can't preach grace for 50 years without practicing it, especially in front of your whole church. This was a young man who'd made some mistakes. He was on drugs and alcohol when he did it, but he was able to be redeemed. Chandler told the prosecutor, listen, there's this program. It's a faith-based recovery program called Renewal Ranch. And would you ask the judge if he would consider that as an option for him rather than jail time, as he could go to Renewal Ranch? And surprisingly, the judge said, yes, I would consider that. And so before Brenton Wynn, he said, here's your options, Renewal Ranch or 20 years in prison. And he goes, I'll take Renewal Ranch. And so he goes to Renewal Ranch, and surprisingly, Renewal Ranch had a Wednesday required Bible study at Central Baptist Church that he began to go to. And 3 months after going through that and getting sober and realizing that God loved him dramatically and had a better plan for his life, he gave his life to Jesus. And 6 months later, in front of the church that he vandalized and broke into, he got baptized. And here's what he said. He said, I gave my heart to Christ. I used to think it was a coincidence that I chose to break into that church, but now I call it confirmation that God is real and he answers prayer. I needed a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he made me brand new. That's what it means. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the old me dying and a brand new me being resurrected. And the Bible talks about this, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then, Paul says? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, he said. We are those who've died to sin or died to my old life. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. He says that when we get baptized, it's basically a symbolizing what happened to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, and going under the water is a symbol of me with him dying to my old life. And then Jesus being resurrected is me symbolizing coming out of the water of a brand new life with him. That's what I'm showing people. Albie, this has happened to me. You know, when you go in the water and you go in the water today, it's a symbol of you dying to your old life. It's interesting, the word baptism in Greek means to drown. Now, don't worry, we're not going to drown you today. If you're getting baptized and getting nervous right in your seat, we're not going to drown you. But it is insightful to hear that the word baptism in Greek literally means to drown. It means to die. There's a part of me, this old me, that is dying, and a brand new me is coming out. It's an admission to everyone around, I can't save myself. I can't save myself. I need a God to come and rescue me from me and from my life. I love when my favorite verse in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I love that verse. The old has gone, the new has come in Jesus. That is what baptism is. It's a new life. Important to remember, it's not a perfect life. I'm not born to a perfect life, but I am born to a brand new life. It reminds me of, I think it was in COVID, when, and you probably have had this experience, I was walking in our family room. I got off the couch, and I had socks on, but I ran around and stubbed my toenail on the edge of the coffee table. You've been there, right? Ow! I mean, you can feel it right now, can't you? You can feel the pain. And thankfully, my pain threshold so unbelievably high that it barely affected me. No, I'm kidding. My wife the other night was like, she's like, your pain threshold is so low, you can't handle anything. And so I hit my toe, and it was really bad. You know, I'm screaming, it hurt. But about a day later, it was okay. It wasn't that bad. Well, I'm not kidding. So 3 days later, I'm downstairs in our basement, and I'm down there doing something, and I had to kind of go up quickly. And so I got up, ran, running, and I hit the same baby toe on the coffee table, the metal piece. And this time really hard, so hard, like I collapsed down on the ground. I mean, I was the biggest baby. I was screaming, help me, help me. You know, and my wife and kids come running down, and I'm holding my toe. I was like, I broke my toe. I broke it. And I did not break it. Is 30 minutes later, it was fine. No, I'm just kidding. For like days, that one, like days, it was sore, really hurt bad. Okay, now some of you are going to be like, I wish you would have never told this story. So about a month later, totally forgot about it. And one morning, I have socks on, but I had to change my socks to something else. So I take off my sock. And as I take off my sock, I notice in my sock is my toenail. I was like, it's gone. It's gone. My toenail's ripped off. And then I looked down and I realized, and there's a brand new one. There was a brand new toenail. I had no idea. All this had been happening for a month. My old toenail was dead and the brand new was right there. In the same way, Jesus wants to give you a brand new toenail. I told you, you're like, please don't share that story ever again. Just like that, there's the old life. Jesus doesn't make a new you or an improved you or a better version of you. He makes a brand new you. A brand new you in Christ. And the old you is gone. You know what I've noticed in my life is this, is the very things I ran to are now the very things I run from. Where I used to love my sin, I now hate my sin. Where I used to hide from God, I now run to God. Where I used to live for myself, I now live for God and others. Where I used to lie, I now tell the truth. Where I used to wound with my words, I now heal with my words. Where I thirsted for lust, I now thirst for holiness. Where I had a cauterized conscience, I now have a clean conscience. Where there was betrayal, there is loyalty. Where there is passivity, there is now courage. Where there was guilt and shame, there is now rejoicing and freedom. Where there was fear, there is faith. Where there was hardness, there is softness. Where there was degradation, there is now beautification. Where there was me, there is now Christ. There is now Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. It's a picture. It is a picture of what God does. But it's not only a picture, it's also a profession. It is a profession. So imagine this here with me for a second, all right? Okay, imagine you play a football. And you're a really good player, and you have a chance to go into the pros. and you are getting ready. And you guys see in those videos or shows, right, when one of the college players is there at their home with their family and friends, and they're in the draft, and they get a call by like a, you know, pro team. Have you guys seen that? And everyone's there, and everyone's gathered around just waiting for that phone call. And then finally the phone call comes, and they pick it up, you know, and all of a sudden, you're being drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, and the family just erupts, and everyone screams and yells and crying, and it's just chaos. Imagine one of those scenes, and rather than everybody around, the person is sitting by themselves in their house with no family or friends around, even though they have friends and family, and they get the call, you're being drafted by the Seahawks. And then they say, don't tell anybody. Don't share it with anyone. Keep it under wraps. You know, you're joining Team Seahawks. And they're like, don't say a word. You'd be like, what is wrong with you? You're being drafted by the Seahawks. Make it public. In the same way, we are joining Team Jesus. When I'm joining Team Jesus, baptism is a public profession. It is getting the call. It is celebrating in front of people. It is saying, I belong to Jesus and he has my life. And I'm not ashamed of it. That's why we don't do baptisms in private. We do them in public because they're meant to be public. They're meant to say to everybody, I belong to Jesus and I am following him. We all know this truth. We hide what we're ashamed of, but we profess what we're proud of. I hide what I'm ashamed of, I profess what I'm proud of. Hence my dad, right? My dad was very proud of me, so he yelled it, even in a very awkward social moment. He yelled it because he was proud of it, and we do the same thing. Baptism is going public with your faith. It's going public with your faith. It's a way to tell people outwardly what's happened to me inside. It's a way to communicate everyone on the outside, this is what's happened to me inwardly. God is transforming and changing my life. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this, you are the light of the world, Jesus says, not because of me, because of Christ in me. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Arbor Heights, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Baptism shouts to the world that I'm unashamed of the Christ who died for me. I am unashamed of him. You know, it's helpful to remember, and we don't have this context now, but in the first century, if you were a Jewish person, which Christianity was born out of that, so a lot of Jewish people were becoming Christians. And what happened in the first century, because at that time, there was a lot of anger against that and a rejection against it. If you were Jewish and all of a sudden you're going out to the Jordan River to get baptized and you look over on the bank and there's your family and there's your friends and there's people you work with. And if you get baptized, your family says to you, you are dead to us. And your friends say, don't bother coming over anymore. And your job says, we don't want to see you anymore. And you would be rejected. Absolutely rejected by your community. But these people still went in the water and said, like Paul does in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I'm proud to be called a Christian and I want to be with Jesus. Christianity is not a whisper in the dark. It's a shout in the daylight. It's a shout in it. It's putting a stake in the ground publicly and saying, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not turning back. I am moving forward with him. You know, when Texas pastor Jim Dennison's his name, when he was younger in college, he went on a summer missionary trip to East Malaysia. And he was there in a very small church over there. And during one of the services over there, this young teenage girl, she was there, and she'd been coming for a little bit, and she decided to give her life to Christ. And a couple weeks later, they did a baptism for her. And on the day that she was getting baptized, Jim Dennison said he was there. And at some point in the service, he looked over on the side. And it was a really small room. And there was a bunch of old, rugged luggage sitting on the side. And he brought the pastor over at one point. He's like, hey, what's up? Someone left their luggage over on the side of the building. And the pastor brought him over quietly and said, listen, he said, her father said that if she was baptized as a Christian, she could never come home again. So she brought her luggage. Baptism tells my family, it tells my friends, It tells my coworkers, it tells my neighbors, I belong to Jesus. I have decided to follow him, and I'm not turning back. You know, if you're here this morning, and I just want to say to you, son, if you've never done that, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you said, you know, I don't know if I've had an old life and now a brand new life, I want you to prayerfully consider that. If that's you today, and maybe you've been here for a while and people think you've done that, but you haven't in your heart, and we want to invite you to do that. And if you want to consider that or talk about that, let me know. I'd love to talk to you about giving your life to Jesus. And maybe next time in the spring, actually, we have another one. We can baptize you then. But let me pray, and then don't get out of your seat, okay? Let me pray, and then give some direction, okay? And then we're going to go dunk five people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus, you're so good, and you are worthy of everything. You are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of our death. You are worthy of everything in our life. And God, we just thank you today for these five people, the declaration that they're making, Lord, that they are turning from an old life to a new life, God, that they are not ashamed of the God that they follow. They want to show people the reality of what's happening inside of them, God, and the work that you're doing in their hearts. And I'm so glad that we get to come alongside them in the church community and celebrate and cheer on and fight and pray for them and show them that they are part of a family that loves them, God. We thank you so much, and we are really excited about today. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. In your name, amen. Okay, so here's the deal. It feels like class, right? Everybody starts running. So quick directions. So in a second, when I say go, you can hop up and go out that way, that side right there, and head downstairs. There's chairs down there. You can grab a seat if there's all the chairs are filled. If you wouldn't mind, maybe who can stand, you can stay on the side. Leave the front two rows open for family, so family can be up there to take pictures and all that. And give us a couple of minutes, too, while people change and get ready. This is not the end of the service, too. Don't leave. Doors have been locked. You can't leave. All right? Don't leave. Just head on down, and then we'll do that. People will share, we'll baptize, and then we have cupcakes, amen, and we'll spend some time just hanging out. So let's do that. All right, ready, set, go.